So this morning I'm going to continue my series of talks on faith, heart, mind, and inscription. And I'm going to start with the phrase that I was working on last time, or that we were talking about last time, and then go on to a couple other phrases. So last time, phrase I was talking about, and they're in your program what I'm going to be talking about, doubts and irresolutions vanish, and life in true faith is possible. So I'm going to kind of summarize what I talked about last time and then move on. So life in true faith. Well, in Zen Buddhism, we don't have necessarily faith in God, necessarily faith in Jesus, necessarily faith in Shakyamuni, necessarily faith in Amitabha. In certain schools of Buddhism, faith is emphasized. Katagiri Roshi was raised in Shin school, where faith in Buddha in his childhood was really emphasized. But when we say, or when Sangsan says, life in true faith, really he means faith in our original clear-eyedness, our clear eyes, faith in our original clear eyes, as passed on to us from our teachers, as taught in the sutras, as mentioned in the interchanges, as manifested in life. We have faith that through our practice of Zen, we can manifest the exactly same clear eyes that were manifested 1,000 or 2,000 years ago. Exactly the same. So we bring the past alive, but it's not the past. It's just here. So that's the faith. And I was talking last time about how that clear-eyedness, that clear clarity, that deep clarity, has been called by Seligman, after studying all the Buddhist scriptures, flow. It's just his simple term, flow. And the seven features that he talked about when he talked about flow, which he pulled out after studying a lot of Buddhist, looking at a lot of Buddhist texts, right? Challenge. In an activity has challenge. There's a goal. There's control, sense of control. There's concentration. And then there's also some effortless involvement. Some effortless involvement. And the sense of self vanishes. And so does time. And in Zen practice, we believe that we can all fall into that. And I say fall into that because it happens when we're least anticipating it. We can all fall into that, we can all experience that, and we can all share that clarity with others. So the historical Buddha says, when in the hearing, there is only that which is heard. When in the seeing, touching, tasting, thinking, there is only that which is directly experienced by the senses. That is the end of dukkha. That is the end of dissatisfaction. And so our practice is all about is resting on some faith that we can manifest that. And as I was said last time, in Buddhist practice, cultivating positive emotions is very important, because positive emotions will allow us to have that faith. Positive emotions about interdependence, about the possibility that we can manifest this. And there are lots of ways of cultivating positive emotions in Buddhism. And I don't think I'll talk about those today. But there are lots of ways. Mantras, gathas, doing readings, hanging out with people who have the same intent and the same core values as you do, as we do. And then also ethical behavior is important, and it all rests on zazen, on meditation. And last time I talked about signature strengths. We, all of us who practice Zen, whether we know it or not, we tap in sometimes to some sense of flow where the self is just gone, and there's just being, just engagement. And so each of us, you could call that your signature strength if you wanted to be specific about it, and don't get too attached to it. It's your signature strength. It's impossible to practice Zen if you practice sincerely and not have some of experiences of flows, and that with certain activities that for you happen to be more conducive than other activities. And last time I talked about Suzuki Roshi's signature. Does anybody remember what I said? Yeah, that's right. He started when he was 18 years old after zazen every morning, working with rocks. And I spent 3 months with him when I was very young down at Tassajara Zen Monastery. And he gave a lecture every night for those 3 months. He must have given 90 lectures. And you know, you would think that he would have been in his little room preparing for lectures in the afternoon. What was he doing? Moving rocks. He was moving rocks. So, I actually don't think, or thinking back on it, because it was a long time ago, that I learned anything from those lectures. They weren't very cognitive. I only learned about Buddhism much later when Katagiri Roshi said I should start giving talks. That's when I learned about Buddhism. But those 90 talks that I heard, I mean, apparently I heard 90 talks, there wasn't much cognitive that stuck with me. But there was the sense of just being, a sense of spaciousness, a sense of joy and connectedness that I felt to him and that we felt to each other, which I think his web preparation for talks was, he knew it at some level, was not going in his room and looking up books, but just doing his rocks. And then he could just kind of flow into the Zendo. We could sit and he'd give his talks. So we all have, if we're Zen practitioners, some signature strengths. And it's good to actually to indulge them. Why not? Why not? Why be fussy about this practice? Indulge them. Indulge them. And we all have some things that where we're just totally discombobulated. We're not even close to flow. Some types of things we do. Where we're upset, we're worried, we're anxious. It seems like instead of no sense of time, it's like it just a minute lasts forever. It's so difficult. But in Zen, we can move from our signature strengths through the practice of zazen, move to things that aren't our strengths. And we do that through the spirit of repetition, doing something over and over again. I'm sure that when Suzuki started working with rocks when he was 18, he was clumsy. He probably got annoyed. He probably, you know, whatever. But by the time I knew him, when he was, however old he was, 60, let's say, how many years had he been doing it? The spirit of repetition, very important in Zen. And Katagiri Roshi and Suzuki Roshi really emphasized it. They do it over and over and over. And at some point, the sense of self just vanishes. And the activity just takes on its own life. If you come in here in the morning to sit with us, we chant the Heart Sutra. Let's just the little chant that we chant that lasts, what, 6-7 minutes? I don't know. I don't know how long it lasts. 7 or 8 minutes, maybe? No longer?
Less.
Less? Oh. How many minutes?
3 or 4.
Yeah. 2 minutes. Anyway, people often say to me, well, why don't we chant other sutras? Why don't we just do that one? Why don't we have some variety? Well, this is the spirit of repetition. I started doing this when I was 20 or 21, and we did it every morning. We still do it every morning. That spirit of repetition, if you give yourself to it, something happens. There's a transformation, which then carries. Maybe it doesn't carry very far. Maybe it only carries until you get in your car. That's still pretty good. Maybe it carries till you get all the way home. That's still pretty good. Maybe it carries until you just get out of the zendo. That's still pretty good. Just over and over again, till the activity and us, we don't know the difference. We don't know. We don't know. You could call it us. You could call it the activity. So Katagiri Roshi, the teacher who brought Zen to here to Minneapolis, he was raised, as I said, in the Shin school of Buddhism. And then when he was young, really young, I can't remember how young, maybe somebody can, 18 or younger, he got into Zen. And he partly, one of the stories about why he got into Zen was that he saw the Zen monks had food. Do you know this story? Do you remember this story? Yeah.
Not from him, but
oh, yeah. Well, I heard it from him. It was the war, World War II, and everybody was starving. And his family had run a restaurant, but now they were just really in bad shape. Well, the Zen monks had food. So that was what originally he claimed attracted him to Zen. But then when he saw some clear-eyed teachers and started reading Dogen, he made a commitment very young to just doing Zen in the spirit of Dogen, in the spirit of immersing yourself in meditation and going beyond your self-consciousness, joining with all beings in your life. So he was at a Heiji monastery, which is the monastery that Dogen's founded in Japan. And there were lots of things that Dogen said about how you should do this, so you could go beyond your small self, so you could experience openness, so you could be, as Seligman says, in flow. And they would have activities that they did the same.